Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Jerry Clark joining us, and we're reminiscing very much about the strange characters in the UFO field and the related fields over the years as we consider the UFO culture that who knows what will happen to it as UFOs become very mainstream with more mainstream scientists embracing it. A line item in the Pentagon budget all about that. Remembering Ray Palmer, remembering the Fullers, Fate magazine, and all that. Now, as associate editor of Fate, do you think that most or all of the stories that Fate published over the years were genuine in the sense that the writers believed them?
Yes, I think that's true. Occasionally, we figured out we'd been bamboozled, in which case the magazine would publish a retraction. Yeah, Fate was really above board about that. And sometimes when we suspected something, we investigate and find out that this never happened. So it wasn't like New Yorker-level fact-checking, but it was something.
Of course, then, if you know it's a fake, you just pack it up and send it to Ray Palmer.
Yeah, yeah. But we also had a sense, if you reading weird, allegedly true weird stories every single day, and you're just living in that culture, you get a pretty good instinct about what does happen and what doesn't in terms of the, you know, world of anomalous experience. And so some stories would come through that were clearly complete nonsense, complete fiction. But there were other things that had the ring of truth to them. We'd have people sign affidavits and answer questions and things like that. But I think that, you know, most of the stuff, just looking, getting a sense of who sent this and what that person's background and personality were, you develop a, you know, reasonable confidence that, yes, something strange happened to this person, because I think all of us have something strange happen to us more than once in our lives. And so we think, okay, it happened, so what? It's just interesting to read about.
Having been exposed to all these strange stories, being an editor for Fate magazine, did that in any way change your personal belief system about all this?
My personal belief system, as you call it, is always in flux. It's an evolving operation. And yes, I have some very distinct ideas that are not necessarily commonly held by people who are interested in these things. But yeah, I have a lot of ideas about what anomalous experience is about. And I sometimes feel as if, you know, I'm dealing with anomalies during many of my days, that it's there, and yet it isn't spectacularly there. It's just there, and its operations are sufficiently banal that they're barely worth telling people about them, because they're not that interesting as stories. But I think that these things happen to us, they're around us, they happen to us more often than we realize, but we just rationalize them away, and without even thinking about it. It's just a mindless kind of rationalism that if we sat and examined more closely what had happened, it would be pretty strange, but still wouldn't make a good story. I have this feeling that reality is in flux all around us, and there are different kinds of realities that we enter and step out of, and that consensus reality is only one of the things around us. You know, it's the one we negotiate, and it's the one we pretend to put our full faith in lest we be thought crazy. But yeah, I have very definite ideas. I am definitely a Fortean. I'm more than a ufologist, more than anything else. I'm a Fortean.
Can you explain that term? Because I don't think a lot of people are even familiar with Charles Fort and kind of what those ideas represent. Now, there was something you said earlier that you just kind of allowed for the inconsistencies and such in the Kenneth Arnold story when he was checking into the hotel and things like that, that those are coincidences or oddities. It didn't seem like it had to be explained. So how does that play into things? Do you need an answer for everything?
No, I don't. And that's why I'm a Fortian. Charles Fort was, as you guys know, as some listeners surely know, many listeners maybe, was an American writer born in 1874. Albany, New York. He was a smart guy, an interesting guy, even when he was a little kid. And he grew up, and he wanted to be a novelist and a fiction writer. And he had a writing talent, and he published short stories, both in magazines and in newspapers. He published a novel, and this is all in the early part of the 20th century. And then he ended up spending he had enough money so he could support himself and his wife. And he ended up spending a lot of time in New York Public Library. And he was interested in science. He was interested in just a whole range of things. And then he began to focus his interest on things that were reported as peculiar occurrences, but were not explainable, although sometimes scientists pretended they explained them with explanations that themselves made no sense. So he began making notes from newspapers, scientific journals, all kinds of sources about strange things. And many of these were strange things in the sky. Now, he wasn't interested in ghosts or psychic phenomena. He was interested in other kinds of anomalies. And these included strange lights and structures in the sky, strange creatures, falls of material from the sky, all kinds of things that we really don't have explanations for, but that are pretty strange. And so then he wrote a couple of books during the 19-teens that were just unpublishable. And he destroyed the manuscripts, but from a description of these two books, you understand why they weren't publishable, because they were nut books. That Fort hadn't figured out how to write this stuff up. And I know from my own personal experience, you have to learn how to write these things. Unless you want to be called a nut. And you've also got to tighten up your own thinking. You can't believe everything. You have to have better and better analytical skills so that you begin to understand how these things work, what their dynamics are. If you encounter this thing, what you could expect to have happen to you. Well, he figured this out in 1919. He published his first book. He wrote four books on anomalies. And the first one was called The Book of the Damned. And it's a very interesting book. It's also a very funny book. It's a very smart book. And it's kind of an attack on our complacent thinking about how the world works, what's possible in the world. Nobody's ever written books like those. There were four of them. The last one was published in 1932. It was called Wild Talents. And he was dying as it came off the press. These are wonderful books, and they influenced all kinds of people who read them. People, sometimes well-known people in society, journalists and entertainers and people like that, and even some scientists, were really interested in these phenomena and also his outlook on them, which was just amazingly interesting and always funny. And I read those books for the first time when I was 12 years old, and I read all four of them at once, and they just had an effect on me that has continued the rest of my life. It all began because I was interested in the strange stories. But as I got older and older and knew more and lived more and thought more, I realized what was really interesting about these books was the kind of philosophical underpinning of the book. And that's really what has affected my thinking about anomalies and even daily life. That it's a stranger and more complicated and tricky proposition than it seems to be.
And on Ford's style, I get the impression that he was more interested in presenting this interesting information and discussing it, but not, definitely not forcing an explanation.
No, he would have explanations, but they were pseudo-explanations. usually.
Let's do our break here, guys. We got more to come with Jerry, Gene, and Kurt. You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news at theparacast.com. That's news at theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
It's interesting how things happen while we're doing shows here. So, for example, as I was working here with our episode with Jerry Clark and Kurt Collins, a package arrived from Amazon containing a pair of reading glasses. We opened the package. There's nothing in it.
Now, is that supernatural, Madeira?
I had that experience a year or two ago with Jacques Vallée. We agreed to exchange our most recent books, and so I sent him the most recent edition of the UFO Encyclopedia, which is two big, fat, thick volumes, and then he sent me his latest book. So when the book gets to San Francisco, where Jacques lives, the package was there, and he opened the package. There was nothing in the package. And that started a whole 40th episode with the Postal Service, which I won't go into. But this was not a 40th disappearance. It was just thievery in the mail. And I suspect that somebody, since both our names were on the cover of the package, some guy who knew who one or both of us were working in the Postal Service, stole the books from the package and then put the package back in the mail so that no one could detect that the theft had occurred. But that ended up being a complicated, unpleasant episode, and the post office refused to pay up on its insurance on the contents.
So getting back to Charles Fort for a moment, so you described yourself as a Fortean, so obviously you're influenced by the man, but how does that mean? How do you approach ideas? Someone wants to become a Fortean, what do they need to do?
Well, it is a deep philosophical skepticism. You grow skeptical of received wisdom, and I don't mean like some crackpot who thinks he's going to overturn Einstein or anything like that. It's not that kind of thinking. It's a lot more subtle and nuanced. One thing it involves is a sense of what is possible in the world, and particularly in one's own experience, that there are some things that are, I like to say, they're neither here nor there. They're not real. They're not unreal. They're just experienceable. And watching the way scientists dealt with the UFO phenomenon for so many decades, I would watch that through Fort's eyes. That would have really amused Fort, because they were already debunking UFOs before they were called UFOs or flying saucers. In the 19th century, they were debunking aerial anomalies with explanations that were pretty thin on the ground. And that tradition has continued for a long time. And anyway, just, you know, walking down the street, things happen to me. Like when the temperature in Minnesota is bearable, I take walks every day. And I see things out of the corner of my eye. And I assume, well, that's just reflections off my glasses and so on. But one day it occurred to me that the things I was seeing were sufficiently weird and detailed that what if they did have some kind of reality, just some kind of passing, ephemeral reality? Now, probably not. But the fact that I even thought for a few seconds, sort of, that might be possible, means that I have a deep suspicion of banal, ordinary reality, that I'm open to other possibilities. And people tell me stories, because they know I'll listen to the local people, tell me interesting stories about things that they've experienced. And just yesterday I was having a conversation with somebody who made it very clear that he had no time for weird stuff, that he did not believe that stuff at all. And I said, I don't care whether you believe it or not. It's up to you. And then he stopped me, hesitated. He says, well, I did have a couple of really strange experiences. And this happens all the time. People come up and declare their denunciation of anomalies and the paranormal and the unorthodox. And then they catch their breath and then confess their experience of it. Kurt, may I say something to you?
Sure.
I read something online the last week or two. And it was an article on Reinhold Schmidt.
Yes.
The huckster contactee. And I thought, I knew this story, but there was so much more detail and nuance and perspective on this. This is one of the best pieces of UFO writing I've read in a while. And then I looked to see who'd written it. And as you know, you wrote it. It was really a fine piece of writing. I want to congratulate you for that.
Well, thank you. It was, so you've discussed him before. This man claimed to have seen a cigar-shaped UFO and talked to the occupants who, you know, later revealed to be from Saturn. And he was gotten involved in some criminal activities. One of the few people that ever went to prison as a result of hoaxing UFOs. And it was actually an associated scam, but nevertheless, he was there. So I wrote about it, and I got in touch with his grandson, and I wasn't sure how he would react to his grandfather being discussed, but he was happy, and I included his memories of him. I mean, and, you know, his personal memories were great, but, you know, I stuck to what could be documented and what was determined in court, at least, and what was said. So I try not to libel anyone, but, you know, I appreciate the compliment on that. I spent a lot of time digging on that, and, you know, sadly, so much time that the man died, and his grandson, I mean, the great-grandson, Ron Holschmidt, you know, he had helped me get in contact with him. You know, he was happy with the story, and he said his father would have loved it, but that's only regret is I didn't get it finished much sooner so that his grandson could read it.
Well, that was just a fine piece of work. I just was just knocked out. At one point that might be made about Ron Holschmidt is that when we look back at the classic 1950s contactees, we think, oh, they're a bunch of con men. And they just made this up to make money and so on. Well, that was, of course, what I thought for many, many years until I went back and dug into some of the stuff, and that's how I came upon your Ron Holschmidt piece. And I was thinking, you know, Ron Holschmidt was basically a con man. He was the cliche of the contactee who was just trying to rob people of their money and tell ridiculous stories to gullible people. But I had realized thinking about this in the last couple of years, not many of the contactees in the 1950s were actually con men in the sense that they had a criminal history. And they were known as confidence artists to the law. And very few of these guys answered that description. And the ones that did actually kind of got moved out of the movement. They just sort of got edged out of the movement. And one of them was Schmidt, when he was associated, as your article documents, with another contactee's organization, Understanding Inc., which was run by contactee Daniel Fry, one of the early 50s contactees.
We've got Jerry, Gene, and Kurt Jurin.
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The FBI says all captives involved in a 10-hour standoff at a Dallas area synagogue are now safe. They say the suspect did not harm the captives in any way and that a global investigation has begun. Officials not releasing the identity of the suspect. Some not-so-subtle hints about his future plans from President Trump at a rally last night in Arizona.
And in 2024, we are going to take back the White House.
Leave our businesses alone. Leave all of us the hell alone. Tell Joe Biden the Americans' health choices are none of his business. We can make our own choices.
Trump calling for the Biden administration to leave schools and businesses alone. This is USA Radio News. Georgia has issued a state of emergency ahead of a major winter storm. After slamming the Midwest already, this powerful system is now heading south and could bring things as far south as Atlanta. Forecasters say the wintry mix of snow, sleet, and freezing rain will be making roads across the southeast dangerous up into the mid-Atlantic, likely to give Atlanta its first measurable snowfall in 4 years. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell confirming this past week he's running for another term as that chamber's top GOP leader. And Senator Lindsey Graham, the South Carolina Republican, says that Senate GOP leader needs to have a good relationship with former President Trump.
I like Mitch a lot. He has a lot to be proud of. But if you want to be a leader in 2022, I expect President Trump to run again for president. You don't have to agree with everything President Trump does or says. I don't. But you got to have a working relationship.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Powdy Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
As you were saying, Dan Fry, before we do that, by the way, before you mention Dan Fry, he had written a lot of stuff that has alleged scientific stuff in it. And we've got one of our regular visitors to the forum who says, actually, some of that stuff looked pretty advanced for its time.
Well, as Kirk points out in his article, when Schmidt started getting into legal trouble, when it was clear that he was a crook, Fry and his organization, which had really promoted him, edged him out of the group and didn't want anything to do with him anymore. And this was in conformity with an idea that had occurred to me that the contactees who were actually con artists in the legal sense were not really that common in the contactee movement. Telling something other than the strict truth was pretty common. But these guys were not really crooks, I think. I think that all of them, or not all of them, but maybe most of them, had experiences that what I would call experience anomalies, sort of like liminal experiences where things are not quite real and not quite unreal. But if they happen to you, you think they literally happen in the world. But soon enough, you begin to realize that you can't prove this. And people will just laugh at you if you tell them that they had spoken with a Venusian. And so you want to prove this, and you want people to listen to you. So you start faking evidence. And you get used to incorporating your true experience into a lot of other stuff that you make up around it. And what you make up around it includes, you know, a more or less coherent occult philosophy. And so the contactees were, in the 50s, were mostly running around knowing that they were lying about some things, but believing intensely in something else. And we're not used to that kind of mentality. So when somebody comes along peddling a ridiculous story, we just assume they're lying. But what if they're not really lying in the sense that a con artist would lie, but sort of lying to enhance what they consider truth? And I don't think that Reinhold Schmidt quite made it to that, but I think that people like Dan Fry and George Adamski, George Van Tassel, guys like that, maybe even Howard Menger, got to some point with a story that they thought was true.
That's interesting. Now I have a little harder time believing that with George Adamski, because his prior history of belief, and their stories, and I don't know how accurate it is, that he took old religious texts and struck out Jesus or angel and put in Space Brother. You know, if that's more of an anecdote than the truth, but it seems like...
Let me say this for George Adamski. And for most of my life, I would have said some variant of what you just said. And all those things are true. But I began to rethink Adamski when I was doing research in an archive for my UFO encyclopedia. And I found in a NICAP file a letter that Adamski wrote toward the end of his life, a private letter to Donald Keel. Keel was director of NICAP. He was trying to get congressional hearings. It's a well-known, probably the most well-known UFO proponent of the 1950s, retired Marine Corps officer. And he was pushing for studies, for investigation of puzzling sightings of UFOs, not contactee stories. He thought the contactees were a bunch of liars. And NICAP and Keogh fought the contactees. So anyway, he gets this unsolicited letter from Adamski, and I think it might have been, in the early 1960s. It wasn't long before Adamski died. He died in 1965. And he writes Keogh, and this is not a letter for publication. It never surfaced anywhere. But he said that, you know, I just want to tell you that I really appreciate what you're doing. This is a paraphrase, of course, that we're both involved in the same quest to bring out the truth about space visitors. And you have your way of doing it, and I have my way of doing it. And the letter was written by a patently sincere man. Now, what he was sincere about, apparently, was a keen belief that aliens are visiting Earth and this was important. And that even though all their differences, he and Keel were basically doing the same thing. And I thought, well, what is Adamski sincere about? And if you think about that, that there's some kind of sincere thread moving through Adamski's career, you begin to get a different perspective on it. One thing you notice, for example, is that all the people who were close to Adamski, like every day were close, believed in stories. They didn't see anything that made them believe that he had made it up. Now we know the photographs are fake, but it's all in defense of the core story about benevolent space visitors. So he can make up, he can lie about a lot of things, as long as he's working for that larger truth. You know, people don't always think straightforwardly. They compartmentalize it. Some people are very good at compartmentalizing thoughts. They can believe two different things at the same time and see no contradiction. Adamski and some of those early contactees may have been those kinds of people.
Well, do you think with George Adamski that maybe, as some people feel, he had some experiences in the 40s that he wanted to convey, and he used the mechanism of a Klaatu-type being in the wake of the day the Earth stood still to get his message across?
Yeah, well, this is the golden-haired Venusians are out of, Madame Blavatsky's theosophy. And there were golden-haired Venusians in the 1930s and 40s with popular cult groups around in those days. So there was no, it wasn't hard for him to get this source. But what's really puzzling is that since then there are a number of non-contactee CE3s where people describe seeing, they don't call them golden-haired Venusians, but the description is the same as Adamski. As Adamski's description of, you know, his Venusian friends. There's, I think the reality of this is really complicated. And it's a kind of, it's not an actual reality, it's a liminal reality that is neither here nor there, but is vividly experienced. And I think that was the core of the Adamski story, to which he added much out of his conscious imagination.
Speaking of contactees in general, what about the possibility here, and I think this has been hinted at by Nick Redfern, that some of the contactees may have been involved or victims of some kind of government experiment?
Yeah, I don't see any evidence of that. I hear that Jacques Vallée often talks about that. You show me the evidence. There would have to be a budget for that. There would have to be documents, even if they were secret documents, there would be documents that eventually would be findable. And there would be people who come up years later and say, yeah, I was part of this. We played this trick on this poor guy. Nobody's done that. This is just a purely theoretical concept, which I see no evidence for.
We have plenty of evidence for the fact that Jerry Clark is here, because I hear his voice, and Kurt Collins. And you will hear both Jerry and Kurt on this weekend's episode of After the Paracast, which, of course, is part of the Paracast Plus at theparacast.plus. I'm Gene. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days, you still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast from Sunny Bay.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis.
everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Youngevity for over 17 years, since before it was Youngevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Youngevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Youngevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Youngevity.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Hi, this is James Fox. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, what do we learn, if anything, from the contactees of the 1950s, or just a culture that has largely come and gone?
Well, I think that we can learn. This is one of the many conclusions I've come to after a year, a lifetime at this. And one thing is that it is not the content of a story that discredits it. You can hear a story that is extremely fantastic. If you don't want to deal with it, you just laugh it off and say, oh, this guy said that he saw blah, 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 blah. That's so obviously ridiculous. We don't have to go any further. Well, you can believe that this person had that experience, is completely sincere, insane, and really is puzzled about how this encounter with a fantastic creature or entity or whatever. The content of the experience is less important than the meaning, the dynamics of the experience, that you can have this experience. The content is almost secondary. The content, of course, is going to be fantastic. That's the whole idea. And some are more fantastic than others. That doesn't mean they're any less true or untrue than others. It's the experience that is the core of it. It's not the content. Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, if you're trying to get patterns out of certain kinds of fantastic claims, and you just can't add them up. They have certain features in common, and others not in common. But they have this in common. None of them is provable. And it is almost certain that the entity or creature described doesn't exist in any physical or biological sense. Nonetheless, that doesn't explain the experience. There is some kind of energy or something, there's no real word for it, in which these things are possible. It's kind of like what the British ufologist Jenny Randles called the Oz factor, where people have some fantastic experience where there should be other witnesses, and nobody's around to see it. It's almost as if a little show has been put on, not just for a single witness, but, say, several people around him in his immediate vicinity. He sees a fantastic UFO just hovering above the ground, flashing lights. Oh, it's an incredible sight. And looks around. The landscape is strangely barren. Even places with ordinarily a lot of traffic, a lot of people, are barren. There's nothing there. Everything except people and evidence of human activity. And then the person comes out of this, the UFO disappears, and suddenly they're in normal reality where there are all kinds of people around. none of whom have any idea of what had just happened to this one guy or the small group of people around him.
So you would think there then, if I was watching Betty and Barney Hill when they had their UFO encounter, I'd see nothing like it.
Not necessarily. I think that what I'm talking about are what I call experience anomalies. I think they apply only to certain kinds of things. And these are usually what we call the high strangeness cases, where something really incredible happens, and however you define happens. But when something is showing up on radar, seen by multiple and independent witnesses over distance, their physical traces, those sorts of things, then you have an event. You don't just have an experience. But we have a tradition of monsters. And people who encounter a monstrous creature think, oh my, this must live deep in the woods and we just haven't found it yet. No, it exists as long as you're experiencing it and then it's gone. It's no more than an experience, an extraordinarily anomalous experience, admittedly. But it doesn't exist in the way your cat does.
So how do we explain the hills, for example?
I generally think that abduction experiences are anomalous experiences, experience anomalies. I think there are things that you can experience vividly and frighteningly, but they have no larger reality outside your experience of them. But I do think that there are certain abduction experiences that really do look like actual events. And I would put, because of the long, complicated dynamics of the Hill experience, I would say this really happened to them, just like with Travis Walton. I think there are certain abductions that really look like events. Experience anomalies get their model from other strange things in the world. Some of them are really in the world, some of them aren't. But the experience anomaly will have the appearance of something real, but it may just be imitating something real, even some other extraordinary anomaly. For example, what if the Sasquatch of the Pacific Northwest is a real animal, like a great ape that has found a place to hide itself so that we can't prove it exists, so we can't come in and wipe it out? But if you see a hairy biped in South Dakota or Texas or Maine or just about anywhere these things are reported, which is pretty much all over North America, those are not biological creatures. They have the appearance of biological creatures, but they're kind of anomalous hallucinations that use the model of the Sasquatch, which may indeed be a real animal, a real anthropoid. And they make this incredibly vivid fantasy around the model of another more real anomaly. I hope I'm explaining myself clearly. It's not an easy concept. I've written about it at length.
At some point, Gene's going to ask where to find more of your work. I think people that are interested, where have you written about this? Where can they seek that out?
Well, I've written a number of articles and essays in Fortean Times and various issues. Also, there are a couple of books of mine. One is called Unexplained, and that is the publisher's title. It's not mine. But it's a big, fat trade paperback that was published, I think, in 2013. And I wrote a book which is my personal favorite of my books. It's called Hidden Realms. And that's another trade paperback published in 2010. And between those two books and my essays in Fortean Times, I think that's where you get the story.
Certainly they are the affordable ways to find what you're doing. Now, the UFO Encyclopedia, I take it that the publishers would never consider licensing a lower-cost version for regular people to buy.
Well, you know, I'm not up on modern technology, to put it mildly. But they have published versions of the third edition of the encyclopedia in different volumes, which you can read electronically. You'd have to go to Amazon, I guess.
Okay, those are Kindle volumes then. That's the format.
Kindle, Kindle. I was trying to hide that I couldn't remember the name. Kindle volumes. Yes. And just where the author, search for Jerome Clark, and you'll see everything that I've written that in book form that's still available.
Now, you don't have a website. You do not have a Facebook presence or anything like that.
No, I just don't interest myself enough to want to do that.
Well, of course, we have people like me who will call him up every so often. By the way, he's going to be hanging out for our premium show after the PowerCast because there are a few other things I want to cover before we let him leave the building with Elvis. And I say that because he's a songwriter, too. So we always have to mention the music. You can find us on Twitter if you look for the PowerCast. Speaking of social networks, you can find us on Facebook, but they won't let us put the URL for the PowerCast at Facebook because they're crazy. Now, of course, they'll ban me because I call them crazy, but that's just too bad. You can also buy branded merchandise for PowerCast listeners. This includes the T-shirts and the throw pillows and all the other good stuff. Go to the PowerCast.shop, theparacast.shop. Our premium show is called After the PowerCast. It's available as part of a subscription package called the PowerCast Plus. We also give you a version of this show free of the network ads with higher quality audio, so all that great commentary from Jerry and from Kurt sounds even better. For more information, go to theparacast.plus. That's theparacast.plus. Special deal. Use the coupon code UFO20, UFO20, to get a 20% discount on 5-year and lifetime memberships of the PowerCast Plus at theparacast.plus. Jerry, thank you for joining us on the PowerCast.
Well, thank you for having me. I guess we did have something to talk about after all.
The PowerCast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The PowerCast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.